1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 4. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took the sword and fell on it. So far, our journey with David has covered about 10 years of his life. For about 7 of those years, David has been on the run from King Saul. Saul had been a good, godly man in the beginning of his reign, but his rejection of God's plan for his life and his refusal to walk with the Lord have brought about his own rejection by God. And from that tragic moment, Saul began a downward spiral into insanity. Saul's insanity manifested itself in jealousy and murderous hatred toward young David. The Bible record is clear. Saul hated David and wanted him dead. But God, in his sovereign plan, protected David from the murderous intentions of the insane king. David survived and even thrived during those hard years when he was on the run from Saul. He grew stronger while his enemy Saul grew weaker and weaker. What a testimony to the grace of God. This text records the awful, tragic death of King Saul and his three sons. I want to begin to look at these verses. I believe they contain an important message for us. By way of introduction, allow me to call your attention to 2 Samuel 1, verses 17 through 27. In those verses, David is lamenting the death of Saul and Jonathan. As he sings his psalm of mourning, he makes a statement three times in that passage. Three times David says, "How are the mighty fallen?" I'd like to take that cry of pity, of lamentation, and use it and look at our text. We see the tragedy of Saul's death. The scene on the battlefield that day, the armies of Israel are put to shame before the enemies and badly defeated. The bodies of the wounded and the dead litter the landscape. King Saul, the powerful, handsome king, is struck by the arrows of his enemies. Near the king lie the dead bodies of his three sons. He knows he cannot escape and that he cannot live. Saul seeks the help of his armor bearer in ending his life. The man, though, will not help the king. So Saul ends his own life by falling on his own sword. A reign that had begun so well ends in suicide after a tragic military defeat. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. While the death of Saul was sad, it was also shameful. There's two reasons why. After his death, the body of Saul was desecrated by the enemies of Israel. He was beheaded, and his head was sent from city to city as a grotesque symbol of the Philistine victory. His body, along with the bodies of his three sons, were taken to Bethshan and now to the city walls. The great king of Israel became a symbol of mockery to the enemies of God. It was shameful because it didn't have to happen. Saul's life did not start out like it finished. 40 years earlier, Saul had been a handsome young man. He had been humble, brave, and obedient when he was first inaugurated as the king. But, little by little, he had allowed compromise into his life. And he had descended into weakness and wickedness. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what greater warning we can have that no matter who we are, where we have been, where we have gone, what we have accomplished, that if we compromise in our life, little by little, we will become weaker and weaker and fall into more wickedness. When Saul died, he was only a short distance from Ramah, where he had been crowned king 40 years earlier. Spiritually, however, he might as well have been on another planet. The tragedy of Saul's death is that it didn't have to happen like it did. It didn't have to happen like it did. Saul chose to live his life outside the plan of God, and he paid a terrible price as a result. And sadly, we see the same thing happening to people all around us. Instead of God blessing and using people for his glory, men and women refuse to go God's way, and they live lives of defeat, and ultimately, they die tragic deaths. They die tragically. Doesn't have to be that way, brothers and sisters. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. It appears from that verse that we can either have the ministry of the thief or we can have the ministry of the good shepherd in our lives. If you're out of step with God's plan, let me encourage you today to line up, to repent. Come on, line up, so that you and your family might avoid the tragic ending that befell Saul and his family. Let us take this somber text and Samuel as a warning to us, brothers and sisters. Don't think it can't happen to you. This was the king of Israel. Don't be so prideful and say, "Never me, that can't happen to me." Don't be like Peter. Though everybody would deny you, not me, Lord. No sooner did he say it than he denied him. But it take heed from these kind of texts in the Old Testament. We're to learn from them. We're not to look at these Old Testament texts as, "Oh, that's nice," or, "Oh, that's tragic, and it has no relevance for me. I'm in the New Testament. I'm in the New Covenant." We're to learn from these Old Testament texts, brothers and sisters. All of Scripture is given for instruction. And while Saul's death is a terrible tragedy, it shares a powerful testimony with those whose hearts can hear it. Saul's death serves as a clear reminder that death is coming to all of us. Think about it. On that battlefield that day, the poor man, the rich man, the king, the slave, the godly man, the sinner, the Israelite, the Philistine, the weak, the powerful, they all entered death together. This pitiful scene is a tragic but clear reminder that death plays no favorites. Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, none of us are getting out of this world alive. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. I'll read off 7 or 8 verses quickly here. Ephesians 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. 2 Samuel 14:14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person. We all die. Job 14:5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Our days are determined. Job 30:23. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. All of us are going down to death. Psalm 89:48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men. For that all have sinned. That's why we die. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. We may not like to think about it, and we may live like it will not happen, but death is coming for us all. That's the testimony of Saul's death. That's the testimony of every graveyard, every funeral home, and every hospital in the world. Death is coming, and you and I better be ready when it does. We cannot be deceived. Death is coming to all of us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let me end with this illustration that's been given concerning death. An old legend tells of a merchant in Baghdad who one day sent a servant to the market. Before very long, the servant came back, white and trembling, and in great agitation said to his master, "Down in the marketplace, I was jostled by a woman in the crowd, and when I turned around, I saw that it was death that jostled me. She looked at me and made a threatening gesture. Master, please lend me your horse, for I must hasten away to avoid her. I will ride to Samaria, and there I will hide, and death will not find me." The merchant lent him his horse, and the servant galloped away in great haste. Later, the merchant went down to the marketplace and saw death standing in the crowd. So he went over to her and asked, "Why did you frighten my servant this morning? Why did you make a threatening gesture?" "That was not a threatening gesture, death said. "It was only a sign of surprise. I was astonished to see him in Baghdad, for I have an appointment with him tonight in Samaria." Each of us has an appointment in Samaria. But that is cause for rejoicing, not for fear, provided we have put our trust in him who alone holds the keys of life and death. So I would ask you today, where does this message find you? Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Christ told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Not even enter it, not even see it, unless a man or a woman is born again. Where does this message find you today? Are you a child of God? Then you need not fear death. for you have eternal life. Death is, as one old timer said, death is just a grim porter. It's just going to bring you to eternity, brothers and sisters. Ah, but if you would be listening today and you're not a child of God, then you need to fear death. Because it's not pointing out to man to die and then the judgment. And where will you find yourself that day when you appear before God in judgment? Will he say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? Depart from me. The wages of sin is death. Shall you stand before God that day in your own merit? None of us have no merit in and of ourselves, my friend. The scripture says there's none good, no, not one. There's none who seek after God. There's none righteous. There's none who do good. All of us have gone out of the way. But the good news is that Christ has come into this world to die for sinners, to pay the price to redeem sinners. And now he has sent ambassadors out into this world, telling the world that God is reconciling sinners to himself by Jesus Christ. If you would come to Christ today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Child of God, no need to fear death, for we have eternal life. Backslider, be kind home today. Learn the lesson from Saul, a man that started out well, but refused to walk in the way of God, and wound up in shame and disgrace. Come home today.